Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Justin Derringer's dream was coming true. He had submitted an application to be a guest on one of the most popular TV shows on television, Pimp My Ride, but didn't expect to hear anything back. After all, there has to be a million people submitting, right? But all of a sudden, out of the blue, he got the call. Exhibit wanted to pimp his ride. The crew at West Coast Customs took his crappy 1997 Toyota RAV4 and transformed it into a chromed-out pimpmobile complete with a champagne dispenser and chocolate fountain. There was just one problem, though. The RAV4 barely ran. Then there was a much bigger problem. After 5 years and $20,000 in mechanics bills, the pimped-out RAV4 exploded into a ball of flames.
Nice.
Derringer uploaded the video to YouTube and Reddit, and soon, others were crawling out of the woodwork with stories about how their dream cars quickly turned into nightmares. Today on Past Gas, how did something as ridiculous as Pimp My Ride become the top-rated car show on TV? How did it disappear so quickly after reaching such great heights? And how many of those cars are still actually on the road today? It's X to the motherf***ing Z exhibit, and we're about to pass your gas.
Damn right.
Big thanks to our sponsor for this episode, Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PastGas. Just go to Indeed.com/PastGas right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/PastGas. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Past Gas. My name is Nolan Sykes. I am actually really stoked for today's episode. Pimp My Ride. Across from me, we got
M to the mother X.
M to the X, Max Maddox in the building. What's up, dude?
What up, Nolan? Happy to be here.
Yeah. I'm excited. And Justin Freeman.
J to the Freeman, bitch.
Dude, Pimp My Ride. Hugely influential show, I think, in my formative years as a very young car enthusiast. You had Ride with Funkmaster Flex on Spike TV.
Monster Garage.
Yes.
Yep.
Pimp My Ride.
Overhauling.
Dude. Of course, Pimp My Ride on MTV. Mm-hmm. Again, I think that was like kind of the crown jewel of like my favorite car shows growing up. Pimp My Ride in Top Gear, of course. OG Top Gear, like, informed so much, I think, of my early car taste. I'm curious what your guys' connection with the show is.
Big time,
yeah.
I mean, I wanted a DVD player on my mud flaps.
Oh my God, I remember that. Was that the Blurple Blazer that they built? Like, I remember they made a big deal about the color being Blurple, blue purple.
I think it was Purple.
Purple.
Yeah, no L. Purple.
Blurple. Purple, you're right, it was Purple. Man, what
purple
about you,
was the term I used every time I saw blue purple from then on. I think Pimp My Ride taught me what I didn't want to do. Well,
I think early it gave me kind of like I had awareness that
Yeah, the TVs and the mud flaps.
It's like, even as a kid, well, I think that's a bit much.
Exactly. Wasn't there a car with a koi pond or something?
Oh,
like
yeah. Fish in the, you know, deep fryer in the passenger seat.
That's a little dangerous.
Yeah. And then the best one, the one I remember the most is the tiny car that they put the gigantic, like, nuke speaker in.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the early cars, I think.
Was
right?
it?
Yeah,
really?
That was like a Chrysler LeBaron or something. It was a K car. Yeah, with the, did they call it a jackhammer, I think?
The jackhammer. The jackhammer. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, they didn't really do anything else to it. They just
and they gave
built
it
a cage.
like a 50s style kind of like graphics on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. That one, I think he had a bit of a resurgence. I think that car is still around somewhere, if I remember correctly. Yeah, dude, jackhammer. I would love a PlayStation 2 in my car.
Big time.
See, that was the coolest part. It's just like, oh, yeah, you get to put all these video games and TVs and stuff in your vehicle. If they're usable, it's like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But then you realize, like, I'm driving.
you know what, though? I mean, we have phones now that have games on them, and we take for granted that you didn't have that. You really only when you were at your house. When you had time, you weren't doing homework, that's when you could play video games. Yeah. So the idea of a PlayStation being in your car is like freedom to
I would
play.
Love that. Yep. Dude, a little flip-up screen, PS2, maybe even like not an actual PS2, but like an emulator in your car would be pretty sick. That'd be cool. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this episode. I think this is something that, you know, obviously resonates with us, or we have all of, I think everyone listening hopefully has fond memories of this show. Because I know I do. And we've had the chance to work with some of the people that were affiliated with the show. I'm surprised it actually took us this long. You know, we're almost 250 episodes
they're,
in. So.
They're about to relaunch the show.
That's
aren't
what
they?
I've heard. Yeah, that's what I've heard. So maybe that'll, if I had to guess, that would be the outro of this episode. stick around and see if that's true. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk Pimp My Ride.
Yo, dog, I heard you like cars, so we put a Cars in Your Car podcast so you can car shows while you
I mean,
watch
honestly,
a car show.
Before we even get into it, like, it's funny the kind of meme potential of the show really, I think, has helped it not stay relevant, but, like, its cultural legacy kind of live on in that way. I mean, that was, like, an early internet meme was the exhibit. You know, you had your Velociraptor and other early memes that make me sound old by even knowing the names of them. But like,
Courage Wolf.
Yeah. God.
But it was Exhibit, dude. That was such a huge meme. That was one of the top memes. I mean, and that's when memes lasted for a while, too. It wasn't just like it would be a weekend or two. That was like 3 years of having to deal with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that was definitely a big part of the cultural sticking power. It's not just a show where they built ridiculous cars. Because you don't see, like, Monster Garage having the same sort of cultural cachet.
Right,
I think, like, Exhibit definitely pulled a lot of weight on that in that regard. But also, like, the meme-ability, the yo dog kind of deal. So, yeah, let's explore that a little more, and let's tell the story of Pimp My Ride. Pimp My Ride was the brainchild of childhood friends Bruce Beresford Redman and Rick Hurwitz. The show was particularly inspired by the random mix of cars they remembered from their old high school parking lot in New Jersey, which included Hurwitz's lime green 1972 Oldsmobile Delta 88 and an old classic Cadillac hearse driven by Beresford Redman.
That's awesome. Dude, I wanted a hearse so bad when I was
really?
In high school. I love that.
Did they do a hearse on the show? They must have.
Maybe.
Monster Garage did. They crushed it.
After high school, both Hurwitz and Beresford Redman moved from New Jersey to Los Angeles to work in television. And Beresford Redman eventually became a producer on a few early seasons of Survivor.
Oh. Cool.
Dude, those early seasons of Survivor are wild. Me and Chloe watched one from 2001. It was like season 6. And they did like a men versus women thing. And let's just say a little weird. 2000s culture with that sort of premise, low-key sexist.
Let's just say that wouldn't fly today.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. Still very entertaining, worth watching for sure. Still great competition. Anyway. Eventually they like mix the teams.
Mm.
Yeah. Like most car fanatics, these boys dreamed about striking it rich and building their dream garages. Isn't that relatable?
Mm-hmm.
But as Hurwitz put it, quote,
"It'd be too easy for someone to just give us new cars. It was a lot more fun and ridiculous to think about fixing up an existing bucket."
Hmm.
They called them buckets back then?
Buckets.
That old jalopy over the ass.
So this idea became the seed for Pimp My Ride. They added an emotional element into the show by selecting young contestants with disastrous wheels and who depended on those disastrous wheels to feed their family or work for charity or do something equally noble. Then the show would transform the wheels from a disaster into a tricked out Pimpmobile.
It's so funny knowing that this was a philanthropic thing that they were attempting to
right,
do.
Right, because that's like 101 now. Make sure there's some kind of emotional element.
Two Gen X white guys wanting to build some Pimpmobiles. Great, off to a great start. So the New York Times described the show in its original review, quote, "Each week a vehicular pumpkin is transformed into a crystal carriage."
A pumpkin.
Thanks, New York Times. Very cool.
This was easier said than done, though. Producing a TV show is one thing. But who are the workhorses that are actually going to be doing the real work on the cars? Enter a little shop called West Coast Customs. Ooh.
West Coast Customs was founded by Ryan Friedlinghouse. Friedlinghouse. He should do two E's. Anyway, when he was just a teenager, Friedlinghouse, a.k.a. Shady, grew up in Las Vegas. Makes a lot of sense. He was a stereotypical family renegade whose father thought he wouldn't amount to much because he liked rap music and stupid cars.
That's in quotes, stupid cars.
Stupid cars. So 14, starting a business, likes dumb cars. I'm sure he was over near, Counts Customs. Saw all that kind of stuff. At the tender age of 14, Shady started showing off his custom-built beauties at car shows.
Wow, okay.
But he was frustrated by the hassles of dealing with multiple specialty shops to create what he exactly wanted. The late 90s car customizing craze was just now taking off, and his teenager dream was to create a super garage that would do everything from painting to metal fabrication to parts installation all under one roof.
What a little entrepreneur. I mean, 14 years old.
Yeah. At 14, that's pretty wild. Pretty you can't cool. even get a job at McDonald's.
Nowadays, 14-year-olds are just crypto mining.
Are they?
Why is our power bill so high, son?
Ugh. It's like Dexter's Lab. That's what he was doing.
Pretty much. Oh, wow.
Shady's family moved to a wealthy suburb in Orange County, and soon afterwards, when he was still just 17 years old, he borrowed $5,000 from his grandfather to open West Coast Customs.
That's a cool grandpa. Also, $5,000.
What year was this?
In like late 90s?
Late 90s?
3 years later? Yeah.
Man.
So early 2000s, $5,000.
Y2K hasn't even happened yet.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Around the same time, Friedlinghouse struck up a friendship with a truck driver named Q Dodson, who delivered beer to the liquor store that Shady's father owned. Q was fanatical about customizing and started hanging out at the WCC shop, the West Coast Custom Shop, to talk about cars several days a week, then became the shop's sales manager.
Dodson, interesting age to be hanging around truck drivers.
Well, you know, the dad owning a liquor store
and then hating, you don't even need to have a fake ID.
And hating, you know, fun cars. Yeah, it all makes sense now. And then the dude who delivers the liquor is hanging out with your 17-year-old son.
Well, he's like a couple years later, so he's probably 19 or 20, you know, 21 even. Young
Perhaps.
Dude still.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right.
But why is he still at the liquor store if he already owns his business?
It's $5,000. You know, he's probably doing it on the side, you know?
Okay, yeah. Okay. So he doesn't have a building yet. He's just got business cards.
Yeah.
Got it. Unfortunately, the business wasn't clicking with its rich Orange County clientele.
That makes
total sense. Custom cars weren't popular enough in the area for West Coast Customs to grow. Friedlinghouse later described his early clients as, quote, "a bunch of spoiled rotten kids who didn't know what they wanted." Mm.
Love that.
End quote. And after the work was done, their angry parents would storm in and protest the bill.
Okay.
Because rich people are cheap.
That's how they have a lot of money.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. I worked at an event center, and we used to have to like polish our crystal glasses and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They were like 50 cents.
Still. Gotta look
bought
nice.
At the dollar store.
You know, my favorite part about crystal glasses? Mm-hmm. I mean, rub your finger on the rim.
Yeah.
It makes that cool noise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, these didn't even do that. They were so cheap. And then we'd break them, and they go to the dollar store and get more. Mm-hmm. But you look at the bill of the event, it's like $400 for...
Dang. For those glasses. Yeah. You gotta rent them.
The glass stack.
I know how that is, man. Wedding planning is... It's tough.
Yeah. How's that going, buddy?
It's going good. We're fine. Yeah, we did a lot of stuff in advance. So
you figure out those tables?
Oh, we gotta make the seating chart. All right, let's keep going.
On the advice of an impressed customer named Big Dane, Shady and Q move West Coast Customs from the Orange County suburbs up to the outskirts of Compton in Los Angeles, where there was a lot more interest in custom cars.
Oh, hell yeah.
Obviously.
Okay. Dude, I know Big Dane, He's like, he'd become a big character on the show.
Right, right. Yeah. The shop immediately started building a word-of-mouth reputation at his new location. Their big break came just a few months later when Lakers star Shaquille O'Neal sent his black Lincoln Navigator in for a new suspension.
That's so sick, dude. Yeah. Lake Show Shaq comes into your shop in Compton.
That's a big deal.
He didn't say he came in. He sent it.
Sure. Man, dude, we worked with... Unplugged Performance, they lent us the Cybertruck for that road trip video, and they had done some work for Shaq as well.
Oh, wow.
And they had one of Shaq's shoes in the office. Whoa. I was like, why do you guys have that big-ass shoe in there? Like, yeah, Shaq just gave it to us because we worked on this car.
Shaq's like, I gotta offload these shoes.
No one else will wear them.
Yeah. Like, how many stores just have one shoe?
Just gift the shoe.
I'm gonna do that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just gift some glasses. Like
glass. My old glasses frames.
These are Nolan Sykes' glasses. Yeah. Oh.
We'll be right back after this.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shaq was so happy with the work that he became a regular customer and a friend of Shady's, eventually ordering work on dozens of cars, including a Chevy Suburban with a supercharged engine, new chrome rims, of course, you know, because we called them rims back then.
Some of us still do.
Yeah, that's true. There's a whole civil war about that going on. And taillights molded to resemble the Superman logo.
Cool. That's pretty sick. That's such a Shaq move. I mean, that's great. Like, getting a big client like Shaq, obviously, for a shop of that size, such a huge opportunity. And if you only got one shot with Shaq, you know, you got to do it right.
Well, he got 12 shots.
Well, that Navigator, though.
I remember the Shaq Navigator, dude. I was like, for some reason, me as an 8-year-old boy wanted a Lincoln Navigator.
Yeah, I remember seeing the first Lincoln Navigator in my hometown, and it was just like, whoa.
They were sweet.
Is that a rapper? But then there was the Lincoln Navigator truck.
Oh, yeah.
The pickup truck, F-150 with the weird panel sign. Anyway.
Didn't the tailgate like opened like a barn doors.
It had wood on the bed.
Yeah.
So
pretty sweet.
I never saw anyone actually use the bed, so I'm not sure. Other famous people quickly followed Shaq to West Coast Customs. Among celebrities, Shady became the early 2000s most popular white dude this side of Carson Daly.
Wow, what a throwback.
His famous clients and pals included 50 Cent, Ludacris, Steve Harvey, Jesse James, which... funny because he builds his own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain tank top wordsmith by the name of Exhibit.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Who had two of his cars worked on, a Hummer H2 and a Mercedes-Benz S500.
Nice. Cool.
Well, he was doing pretty well then.
Yeah.
As the shop's client base grew, they began experimenting beyond garden variety upgrades, adding flat screen televisions, $10,000 stereo systems, and all crocodile interiors.
Yes.
I feel like I get so sweaty in that. I don't know.
Interior crocodile alligator. You guys know that song?
As Frelinghuis described it, quote, "We do high-end cars for high-end customers."
$10,000 stereo.
I mean, this is when TVs, flat-screen TVs, were very expensive, too. Yeah, most people didn't even have those in their houses.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still had, what, Trinitrons and the giant big screen projectors.
Like a Westinghouse CRT TV.
Yeah, which now those are all worth money.
I know. I wish I still had it.
Yeah. Oh, well. JRS 2.
Yeah. You gotta have two.
Gotta Why not have one? There's a Christmas tree in the middle. Yeah. The success led them to a bigger space in Inglewood.
Hey, that's all right.
They also expanded the West Coast Customs crew while doing this. Big Dane joined the team. Woo! To run security, though.
Okay.
I thought he did stuff. Okay. And they picked up mechanic Mad Mike Martin,
Hell yeah.
also known as the man with the plan.
I love Mad Mike, man.
Who eventually became the face of West Coast Customs on Pimp My Ride.
Yeah, man.
Producers Hurwitz and Beresford Redman were the ones who approached West Coast Customs about joining the show. So did the show exist, or... It all started.
No, this is just a shop at this point.
There's a tiny spider on me. Hi, spider. Hello, buddy. Little jumping spider. Go, jump off. There you go.
Wow, Justin, showing his love for nature and creatures Friend by not of the killing animals. The jumping spider.
Hey, jumping spiders are homies, all right?
Yeah. Anyway, we don't know a whole spider sidebar, but let's continue.
As Shady recalled it, quote, MTV was not involved at the beginning. A producer came to me and he said, basically, we want to do a car makeover show to take an old car and make it look nice. And we want to call it Pimp My Ride. And I laughed because no one was going to buy that show.
Do you guys remember in the early 2000s when like pimp started coming back into the vernacular?
That was a word. It was like, dude, that's pimp.
That's a pimp. Oh, he's a pimp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pimp.
Yeah. Ice Cube's a pimp.
And I remember like when I was like a kid, like this. Okay. So I was
like pimp was really bad.
Yeah. Seven or eight, learning what a pimp really was. I was just like, okay.
That was a weird one, I think, for my mom to wrap her head around because. Yeah. Eventually, she started saying it too.
Yeah,
because I said it so much. But pimps aren't good people.
No,
no,
you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But now it's like,
bro, that's president.
That's so congressman, dude.
That's so congress, dude. Man, you're a straight senator. That's
bro, you straight governor.
Comptroller. I don't know. I just think I just remember that was such a moment, and it is funny to think of these two Gen X dudes being like, "Say, gentlemen, we're gonna make a TV show called Pimp My Ride. The kids are into pimps these days. They really love the pimps. They love the fuzzy hats. They love the feather boas.
Yeah,
and those TV screens on the mud flats.
Yeah, we gotta get some of those. So I don't know. That's pretty funny.
And the gold chains.
It's very
and
TV.
Jewelry.
In retrospect, you're like, okay, that is very." Very TV, you know, very Hollywood.
Oh, for sure.
Pimp My Ride.
What are the kids into these days?
They're into pimps.
Yeah.
The kids are pimping.
Oh, they all want to be pimps.
Pimp Slaps, that was also as popular
slap,
back then.
Yeah.
Bam Margera, he did the pimp slap. Anyway, digress.
So, Shady agreed to do a pilot despite his doubts. The producers initially wanted Shaq to host the show, but understandably, Shaq Diesel... Too expensive, maybe.
He was probably a little busy, too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
In one note.
I'll shoot some seasons in between championships. Why not?
Hey, we heard you needed your car pimp.
Just imagine Shaq crawling up people's houses. Yeah, he's like on his porch that people are like, he's hitting his head on their freaking house. Yeah, that's great.
They'd be like, who's there? It's Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, man. So, yeah, he was too expensive. So it was Shady who suggested Exhibit host the show instead. By this point, the two of them were friendly, and the rapper would stop by the shop to hang out while his car was getting worked on. Exhibit wasn't exactly a natural choice for a lighthearted TV host, considering he had gained success with songs like Bitch Please and Choke Me, Spank Me, Pull My Hair, and, of course, Bitch Please 2.
I mean, I just think that sounds kind of on brand for pimping.
For pimping, sure. Nice. As the rapper described it, quote, I was in the middle of putting out some of the most hardcore records that were out back then. It wasn't popular at the time to go from that kind of genre into reality television. This was a risky move.
I mean, Ice Cube did it.
That's true.
He sure did.
Yeah. What was that? Are We There Yet?
Mm-hmm.
Was coming out around that same time.
Friday.
Friday. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
I think this is all around the same time as Friday, right?
Friday was like mid-90s, wasn't it? Or like late 90s.
Friday's was a little earlier, I think.
Yeah.
But then he started getting into more like commercial family-friendly content in the mid to late 2000s.
Nevertheless, Hurwitz took Shady's suggestion and approached the exhibit in the West Coast Customs shop. The two of them hit it off, and exhibit agreed to host a pilot, mostly in the hopes that it would encourage MTV to play his music videos more. With the full crew now intact, they shot an extremely lo-fi sample episode in the camera guy's backyard, which was somehow enough for MTV to order 10 full-blown episodes. The word pimp was about to change forever.
Cool. Dude, when I was a kid, I must have been like 10 or so, I made a home movie called Pimp My Trike. And I took my sister's tricycle and I spray painted it gold.
Nice.
I made these spinners out of like gold foil and I got glow sticks to put under it for neon underglow.
That's sick.
That's still floating around somewhere. I think my mom has that tape somewhere.
That's sick, man.
That's fun.
Pimp My Ride debuted on March 4th, 2004. It quickly became the top-rated car show on TV, as well as the number one show for its time period among the coveted 12 to 34-year-old demographic.
Whoa, sounds like us.
Yep, 18 to 34, baby. But it wasn't just young folks who liked it. By the end of 2004, it was airing multiple times per week and drawing more than 30 million viewers above the age of 35.
Wow. That's good numbers for TV.
That's really good. That would, if it was the same today, that'd be like the number one show on network TV.
I'd be one of the top YouTube channels even.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
The West Coast Customs crew reportedly had a budget of $20,000 to $30,000 for each car, which in the early 2000s was enough for some truly crazy creations. Among the highlights were a 1981 Trans Am outfitted with a chandelier for a touch of class.
Yes.
And an 89 Mitsubishi Mirage that featured an in-cab fish tank and, of course, a state-of-the-art PlayStation 2. Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
I remember the fish tank one. They also installed...
Those poor fish.
Yeah, for real.
In this California heat. Oh, my God.
Man. They also installed a full-size pool table in the bed of a Chevy S10. I remember that one. Mm-hmm. A hot tub inside of a Rock Band's 85 Econoline touring van. I remember that. That's so stupid. I think that was like a later season one. And a fully operational CAT scan machine in an aspiring nurse's 84 Crown Vic.
Yeah,
come
sorry.
Get out.
The doctor's busy, but I can see you in my... car.
Yeah. My Crown Vic. That's
cat
so
scans
stupid.
To go, baby.
That's so dumb. Oh, an aspiring nurse.
Just doing some
way.
Amateur surgery
She's
on the side.
She's taking her classes to get that certification.
It's more a side hustle than anything.
How does that even work, though? The car would, like, implode
so
on itself.
Funny, dude. Oh, my God.
What is it, running off of car batteries, too?
Yes, yeah. Like, come on, man.
Yikes.
But one of the standout builds has to be the 89 Mustang, in which they installed a remote-controlled digital camera in the visor so the owner could take pictures while driving. And remember, this is before the first iPhone came out, so smartphones weren't really a thing yet, which means that Exhibit, Mad Mike, and the West Coast Customs crew actually invented the car selfie.
Wow.
And that's what we just drove a car that has cameras in the inside, the Chinese car, the Neo.
The Neo.
And you can say, hey, take a picture, and it'll start taking
really
selfies.
I really don't like the camera on the inside.
A little weird for me as well.
Don't like that.
That episode came out today.
It did. Yeah. You'll be hearing this in a few weeks, but it did come out today. And we address some more stuff on episode 16 of Big Three, if you want to listen to more on that car. Yeah, that's insane. In-car selfie. In addition to these insanely creative and also just plain insane innovations, Pimp My Ride was a success because of its fairy tale aspect. Each episode started with a piece of junk and ended with something magical. It was one of the first car shows with a makeover format, following in the footsteps of 2000 hits like Monster House and the original Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Did Monster House come out before Monster Garage?
No, I think that was after.
Okay.
But Monster Garage wasn't really like a makeover show because they just built like it wasn't like an owner's story
That's
in
a good
it, right?
Point.
Right. Yeah. It's a little bit sometimes, you know.
Extreme Makeover was like the house show, but then they did Extreme Makeover with like plastic surgery and stuff. Do you remember that? Was that a thing?
Oh, I do remember
that. Isn't
that
crazy that was on TV? Hey, let's take this ugly guy and like build him a new nose.
I might be confusing it with that Nip Tuck.
Yeah, that was, I gotta watch that.
But I remember there were twins that that wanted to not look the same.
Okay, so Extreme Makeover, that was the plastic surgery one. That's so crazy, dude. Early 2000s reality TV is like, Dude, there was a show on FX called Black and White where, like, they would have two families and a black family and a white family, and they would give them makeup to switch.
What? Oh my God. I thought that was a Dave Chappelle scene.
No, that's a real thing. That was actually on TV.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I remember seeing the ads for that. Even at like 10 years old, I was like, man, that's crazy.
But they also have like Wife Swap and.
Wife Swap! Wife, yeah, Swap, that was like on. That's like, there's like 15 seasons of that.
Yeah.
Me and Chloe watch a lot of bad TV, but we watched like one of the first episodes of Wife Swap, and it's like a hunting family, and they love collecting. They have a deer farm for the purpose of collecting deer urine for hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would bet they paired them up with like a vegan mom who comes in and starts trying to run their household.
Yeah. I remember there was like a super clean freak who went to a house that had like 18 pets, including a kangaroo.
Man.
And she tried to tell them, like, you have to get rid of some of these pets. And they were like, who are you?
Hey, man, we love our kangaroo. You'll never, never get rid of our animals. That's so crazy, man. That was an unhinged time, man.
We'll be right back after this bit of housekeeping.
Concerning Pimp My Ride, potential participants for the show could be nominated by friends or family members who felt they were deserving of a car makeover. And those watching at home could easily understand the idea of making a car uniquely personal, even if they didn't know a thing about actual car customization. As the exhibit said, quote, "It's not like Cribs or Monster Garage. We don't have cars you're never going to be able to afford in your whole miserable life."
Jeez, don't remind me.
I kind of like that, though. You know, it's that relatability element.
Yeah, man. Hurwitz added, quote, "You're not really fixing your car if you stick a fish tank in it, but you are saying something about yourself. Thus, it's not fixing your car. It's about pimping your ride."
Just think about this, though. Oh, this person doesn't know anything about cars. They don't know how to fix them or upkeep them or anything. Yeah. Let's give them a fish tank inside of it.
Add in a whole new dimension of upkeep and maintenance.
Let's add 400 pounds of water.
And mind you, the original premise was we're going to take people who
deserve
really need help and who are struggling in life, and we will not address anything mechanical on this vehicle.
So crazy.
Just slap a bunch of stuff on it.
Right.
Oh, man.
Your ride looks interesting now.
Speaking,
probably still can't get to work.
Yeah. Pimp My Ride was particularly successful internationally, which led to a spinoff in the UK, as well as a German video called Pimp My Bike, a Dutch version called Pimp My Room, and a Spanish version called Pimpiando, which translates simply to pimping.
Wow. Pimpiando. Gotta watch that one.
Yep.
But despite the huge success, or more accurately, because of it, Shady was quickly feeling drained by the big pimpin' lifestyle.
Oh, it's not easy.
Couldn't handle it.
Although the show brought significant exposure, it also created challenges for the shop, including an influx of unrealistic requests from clients expecting extravagant modifications without understanding the time, cost, and expertise required.
Yep.
A lot of shop owners are still, I think, dealing with this today as a result of the proliferation of automotive reality shows. I worked in a garage a few years ago. Shout out to Mike Porter and Atascadero, one of my mentors. Love you. But anyway, working at Mike Porter in his garage, people would come in and ask for like full on restorations in like 3 months. And it's like, dude, these cars literally take years to build because especially if it's a one or two man operation, you just don't have the manpower to do something that fast. And it is because of reality shows like Pimp My Ride, more like overhauling as well.
You've got 1 week to do this, or we're gonna lose the shop kind
of
mentality,
that sort of thing. It's like people
are
still
doing for the parts to get.
Yeah, and now I think also because of YouTube as well. You know, talking to Sandro about his shop, people have like these crazy timetable expectations with their cars, and it's like, you know, it's because of pop culture.
Sandro's by appointment only now.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Love Sandro, dude.
Yep.
He's so smart.
Shout out to Miranda's shop.
Yep.
Yeah.
As well as the unrealistic expectations, Shady felt the show was too gimmicky and undermined his shop's reputation among serious car customizers, a.k.a. the original people who paid him big money. He recalled attending auto shows where people jokingly begged him not to pimp their rides. And Shady wasn't the only one in the shop feeling shackled. One of the West Coast Customs mechanics was caught on a car message board complaining, quote, "Most of the MTV people are not real car guys. They pay us to build the cars, so we do what they want, even if it sucks." Even Exhibit, struggled with its surprising popularity. After the show's immediate success, MTV wanted as many episodes as possible. That meant he was stuck constantly filming instead of touring or recording new music. Exhibit also felt like his peers in hip-hop started looking down on him because no other rappers had gone from music to reality TV yet. He recently recalled, quote, "I felt the show was taking away my credibility of what I had already done. Now I got soccer moms coming up and saying, 'Exhibit, give me a kiss.'"
Damn. What?
Shady and West Coast Customs pulled out of Pimp My Ride after four seasons. Exhibit and Mad Mike got set up with a new shop, Galpin Auto Sports, but the magic was kind of gone. Pimp My Ride lost its momentum almost as quickly as it shot to glory. Amid a rating slide and general apathy, the show was canceled in 2007, just 3 years and 73 episodes after it premiered. That's unfortunate. If you hit that 100-episode thing, it makes it a lot easier, especially at that time for syndication.
I mean, they were just...
Everybody gets residuals, but I'm sure that's not a huge issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's telling of the time. You know, it was so white hot when it came out, but it really rode the wave that wasn't meant to last forever.
3 years. I didn't realize it was only 3 years.
Felt longer.
Dude,
right?
I felt like I was watching that show for like 10 years.
Posting twice a week, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, dude, I mean, there were like days on MTV too where they would have Pimp My Ride just like
on
all day.
Yeah. All day. And I remember when Galpin took over, I felt like those were long seasons, you know?
I know. I thought so too, but I guess not.
But maybe that's only 73 episodes. That's not that much.
And it's interesting that we still talk about it all the time as if it was some major long thing that happened.
But I really did not realize it was just 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. You could watch all of those in one day.
When I talk about residuals, they must have got some good residual checks because that show was on, I mean, forever on MTV, just the reruns. So
yeah, and not to mention West Coast Customs is still
huge.
Very much around.
They have a roller coaster at Six Flags.
that's so cool.
The story doesn't entirely end there. In recent years, several participants from Pimp My Ride's glory days have come forward with stories about the general crappiness of their cars, as well as their overall negative experience with the show. For one thing, according to some of them, it took 6 or 7 months to get the cars back. So that's like what you were talking about.
Yeah.
About
Whoa.
This isn't just like they're doing it in a week.
Yeah.
Which obviously caused some problems considering that the contestants were selected specifically because they really needed a car.
They didn't give them
a rental?
That sucks.
Come on, I figured they at least got a rental.
Yeah.
And while the show covered the cost of the modifications, participants were responsible for additional expenses like insurance and maintenance, which could be large given the extreme modifications. There are also common complaints about mechanical problems and stories about key features that were installed for the TV show, but removed from the actual final version of the car. Justin Derringer told the Huffington Post that producers removed his pop-up champagne bottle dispenser because they didn't want to condone drinking and driving.
Okay.
Understandable.
Understandable, yeah.
And a home theater system was also removed for not being street safe.
Hmm.
Could you imagine, so it took them 6 months, right? So that means they were building all these cars around the same time, and then they just had reveal week where they just like
they probably boom, did boom, yeah boom,
they probably
boom, 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 take all of them.
Same with the intros too.
Yeah.
They probably went
I love the intros when they had like
he's like teleporting
after, yeah exactly. They had the interview with the participant, they lay out why their car sucks, and then
they do the crazy stop motion of Exhibit walking down the street.
Sick, dude.
And he just knocks on their door and is ready to go.
I love Exhibit.
And he just clowned their asses, too.
Dude, he would roast them so hard.
So bad. There was one girl that got him pretty good, though. Or actually, no, I think he roasted himself by accident. Because she had a Baja Bug or something like that. And he was just like, she was like, yeah, you can see the exhaust like curves a little to the left. He goes, yeah, like me.
I was like, why would they keep that in?
Like, he would roast the shit out of them, but also, like, he was very self-deprecating, I think. And I think that, like, I think that's why he worked so well as a host. Like, that's why I liked him a lot. It's like, he had a really funny sense of humor.
But, that was kind of the thing, though. Like, rappers during that time, you got 50 Cent and everybody. Everyone was trying to be hard,
you know?
And then you see this other side of somebody who you think is this hardcore rapper, and then he's just like, oh, he's a goofy, normal dude. He's really cool and relatable. And then that, like, brings out people like T-Pain, who's just, like, a wonderful person, you know? And but his music was fun as well. So it projects that. But, like,
interesting.
You don't think about Biggie and see him smiling, you know?
No.
But there's that one picture of Biggie smiling that they obviously didn't use, and it was just like, oh, right, he's like human.
I wonder if, like, Pimp My Ride did have a bigger impact on, like, at least in that sort of respect, where it's like, hey, let's be a little less serious. I mean, you got guys now like Schoolboy Q, who is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Tyler, really funny dude. Like,
well, yeah. At this time, too, this was when gangster rap was really becoming more and more prevalent.
Yeah,
and mainstream. I think that it was hard to get it, you know, get parents to buy CDs. And this now all of a sudden makes it a little more relatable. Makes it, okay, maybe they're not so bad. Yeah, and I can buy
parental
a CD.
Advisory logos and everything on everything.
Yeah, it made it more accessible. All right, back to this. Meanwhile, a participant named Seth Martino said his car needed a lot of work under the hood when he was selected for the show, but West Coast Customs did basically none of it. In fact, his 89 Nissan Maxima drove worse after got it back. He said the makeover added a lot of weight, but they didn't adjust the suspension. It only lasted a month afterwards before he had to save up money to invest in a new engine.
Aye.
Wow. Sounds kind of like high truck.
High truck's engine's fine.
Yeah.
It just has
too much
weight.
We did make
it
worse, though.
Yeah.
There were even times when the idea behind the build was so crazy that it rendered the car useless, like when they attempted to pimp out a Ford Escort by welding the front and back ends of two different cars together.
I remember that one. I remember that one. Yeah.
The resulting vehicle was not even close to road legal, so they ended up replacing it with the Scion XB instead.
I mean, that must have been a production thing where they were like, okay, we know this car is like terrible. Let's hook them up. But first, let's make something really insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember that one. That was sick.
At least I got that. The XB is probably the best pimping that you could do.
It's probably still on the road.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, contestants were also coached on their reactions to meeting Exhibit, which were shot at fake rented locations instead of their real houses. That's honestly probably for the best. I mean, dox people.
Yeah.
A participant named Jake Glazier recalled that he had to shoot his grand car reveal over again. And before the second version, he was approached by the intimidating West Coast Customs security guard, Big Dane, who told him to be a little more enthusiastic.
Hey, man. You're getting your car back, dude. Yeah. I mean, look, directors come in so many different forms. You know, you got your director, but you also got Big Dane just trying to give you a pep talk.
The enforcer.
Yeah.
Security. Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
After several of these stories went viral on Reddit, then gained traction on various car and pop culture blogs, Pimp My Ride co-executive producer Larry Hochberg went on record with the Huffington Post to respond, and to be honest, he made some pretty decent points. According to Hochberg, some of the cars were so old and rusted that they would have had mechanical issues no matter how much work went into them, which makes sense given that junkers were deliberately chosen for the show. Hochberg also acknowledged that sometimes they removed installed items for safety reasons, confirming what the contestants interpreted as producers taking things away. He added that the producers had a flatbed tow truck on call just in case of a mechanical failure and tried to coordinate any necessary repairs with West Coast Customs. Whatever the case, Exhibit recently made it clear that he takes no responsibility for the vehicles, telling a podcast, quote, "I know as much as you do. I put gas in the motherfucker and I drive it. If you don't start, I take it to the same place you do."
Yeah, you know, it's become really, old hat at this point, I think. The last couple of years has, like you said, a lot of blogs writing stories about how Pimp My Ride was fake and, like, all the problems with the cars. It really sucks that they didn't do, like, basic mechanical upkeep. I remember when I was a kid, I assumed that's what they did just, like, off-screen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Morally... a little
You're trying to reach a specific audience, and these are all people that are looking for visual stuff. So once you start diving into spark plugs, they're not gonna.
And I mean, we've given away cars here on Donut before too, and you know, that's always been a fear about making sure that we're not going to give somebody something that's just going to fall apart.
That's
and
true.
I do feel good about saying that we take cars to independent shops off camera just to make sure that, like, a car is actually safe to be given away.
Yeah, I think by the time this comes out, Free Ride will have been out. Mm-hmm. We did the work on that. And then after the challenges at the end of the episode, we took it back to Ben's and had it, like, looked through and everything.
Yeah, alignment done.
Yeah.
Everything.
I mean, I think that's just kind of, again, these guys were on, like, the cutting edge. They were on a new frontier, and I think now we and other car channels and other car shows have learned from that mistake and, you know, tried to do as best we can by the people that we're giving cars away to.
Absolutely. And not to mention, this was also at a time when you didn't have the, like, immediacy that you have with social media now, where if somebody gets a car that goes bad, then, you know, they're going to tell everybody and it blows up. I mean, we're talking about Reddit posts that went viral years after the show was done.
Right.
Too,
like a decade after.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. So
good old Reddit.
Pimp My Ride may be no more, but West Coast Customs is still going strong. Shady and the rest of the West Coast Customs shop moved to another TV series for TLC called Street Customs. I remember this one, which gave a more realistic look into how custom car shops operate. The show changed networks and names a few times, but ultimately ran for over 10 years.
10 wow. years? Yeah. Isn't this one on Netflix?
I think it's I remember on watching it on like Velocity when that was a thing. And
10 years?
Yeah, I think you can really tell that Ryan was pretty disappointed with the expectations people had. Like this, like I said, more realistic. They acknowledge that the builds take longer and that they're a bit harder. And I remember seeing some really, really cool builds on that show. With Pit My Ride, you got to see some of the craftsmanship that goes into it, especially with like not a lot.
It was an arts and crafts show at the end of the day.
Yeah. Really. So with the new one, I remember that it being like you get a better sense of appreciation for the work that goes into cars that might otherwise not really be your cup of tea, especially if you're the demographic of Discovery Velocity back when that was a thing.
I thought there was a bunch of people who faked their crap cars to get on the show.
That's possible too. I mean,
I feel like I remember a controversy about that. That's where possible. People staged their crappy cars just to get on the show so they can get, you know, just be on there. Because I know the Boondocks actually made fun of that, where Grandpa acted like he was blind just to get his car customized. But when they revealed it, he like freaks out, like, whoa! And they're like, what?
Well, you hear about these guys who will actually sue each other in small claims so they can get on these court TV shows so that they can, for good content.
Yeah. So West Coast Customs hasn't escaped controversy, however. After the show was canceled, former West Coast Customs employees began leaking reports to the press that Friedlinghaus was a micromanager who fostered an abusive work environment and that he hired undocumented immigrants so he could pay them under the table if he paid them at all. In 2014, the Department of Labor fined West Coast Customs for paying its employees well under the minimum wage and illegally hiring them as independent contractors when they should have been salaried employees. Shady was forced to shell out over $150,000 in back pay to his workers, plus tens of thousands of dollars in more penalties. Exhibit also found himself in legal trouble after Pimp My Ride when the IRS busted him for nearly $1 million owed in back taxes. He blamed the show's cancellation and his loss of salary for his money troubles. He eventually found his footing as an actor, most recently starring in Empire. Hmm. Generally speaking, the main folks involved in Pimp My Ride don't talk about it a ton. In fact, they often seem a bit embarrassed about it. It probably doesn't help that one of the creators, Bruce Beresford Redman, was convicted of murdering his wife. What the f***? While they were on vacation and spent over 7 years in a Mexican prison.
Holy cow.
Jesus, did not see that coming.
You're telling me the white dude pimp guy killed his wife.
That's crazy, man. Man, that's a downer.
That's as crazy as the guy with the Olympian guy with
Oscar
his legs,
Pistorius?
Legs cut off. Yeah.
Yeah. Bruce was also the guy who drove the hearse in high school.
I see.
Pimp My Ride ruled. It was extremely goofy and fun and entertained a lot of people. And also, the idea that any car can be a dream car if you put enough love into it is something we still believe here at Donut. And I mean, it kind of jumped the shark a little bit at a certain point. But again, I don't think it really overstayed its welcome too much. 3 years, 73 episodes.
I got to be honest, if it was around for 10 years, and you'd be like, okay, what are they going to possibly do now? And it would get stale. I do think that those 73 episodes they made were probably all relatively fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It played such a big part in the rest of pop culture. Like so many video games that came out around the time, not just Need for Speed Underground, but also like Midnight Club. You also had like Juiced.
Well, think about Grand Theft Auto too.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto. Exactly. You could go to San Andreas Customs and pimp your ride out in the game.
Yep.
Los Santos Customs.
Yeah, Los Santos. Sorry. I don't know. Is this such a big part of a big cultural moment? And I don't think pop culture would have looked the same without Pimp My Ride.
Yeah. Fast and the Furious, Pimp My Ride, Need for Speed. Yeah. Like all these things just started
creating this entire
car scene.
Big wave. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate to hear about the toxic work environment. I mean, that is the reality with a lot of the television content that you see.
Oh, certainly.
I mean, yeah, everything's come out in the last 5 to 10 years about just like how bad everything has been, and everyone's changing it now. So,
yeah, that's good. I mean, at least it shines a light and makes us want to do better, you know? So, anyway, if nothing else, Pimp My Ride legitimately changed the English language by recontextualizing the word pimp. Suddenly, a word associated with gangs and violence has become associated with feel-good TV. Exhibit said it best, quote, "I love what Pimp My Ride represented. We got inside pop culture, and we changed the word pimp from a negative to a positive. But he's also willing to admit, quote, I just wanted them to play my videos on MTV. I didn't know it was going to be a thing. That's hilarious, man.
I just came for the cake, all right? Like, I didn't think it had to get on stage.
But you know what? They did play his music videos on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think it worked out for him.
I don't like that he's dismissing it. Don't like that.
I know. I think it's still because of, like, he became, like, a meme, you know?
I get it. But, like, you'd be cooler if you embraced it. You know?
Yeah.
Just be like, yeah.
He might come around. You know, there's still, I think he will.
Yeah, so this new show is called Resurrected Rides. It's going to be on Netflix. This news just came out this week.
You got Chris Redd hosting it, who he was on Saturday Night Live. Super funny dude. He was also in Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Oh.
He's Hunter the Hungry. Mm. He's like a Tyler the Creator kind of character in that movie. He is so funny. I love Chris Redd. He was criminally underutilized on SNL, so I'm stoked to see him on this. And the connection here, the Pimp My Ride connection with Resurrected Rides, Rick Hurwitz is one of the producers.
Oh, wow. And this article addresses that, you know, like what we were talking about, the original show was accused of faking things.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they are going to try to do it real this time.
They learn from their mistakes. Hopefully learn from their mistakes. Looking forward to seeing that. Again.
In a month. So
I'm ready for this Chris Redd descente. I am. I love Chris Redd. Okay, so Justin, you got some listener mail.
Oh,
I don't know about you, but you.
Yeah, I was about to say for me.
No.
This is from Jay Sells.
Jay Sells.
I just wanted to reach out because I've recently been catching back up on past gas on my work commutes, and I, as a Tennessean, got a nice kick of y'all poking at Smyrna in the Datsun Part 2 episode. The plant is actually still very popular for jobs, and there is a respective Nissan culture here in Tennessee. Because they still have their big factory and warehouse and museum. I myself am working on off-roading my 2016 Nissan Rogue.
Okay.
Very interesting. I hope it's all-wheel drive.
Get some
CVT. I also keep a donut hat on my dash and will get props from all sorts of car guys when they see it.
Hell yeah, Jay. Thank you so much for rocking that hat. Get some Hankook DynaPro tires on that road. That'll help you off-road that thing.
Hopefully you're near Appalachia, where all the cool off-roading little trails are. Go over into North Carolina. There's a lot out there. Go to Uwari.
Uwari.
Just pretty sick.
Ooh,
speaking of Uwari, they actually might build a Uwari racetrack.
No kidding.
So another racetrack in Western Carolina, close to Charlotte. So that'd be cool. Fun.
Nice. If you want to hit us up, want to send us an email, hit us up at passgas@donutmedia.com. We might read it on the air. You can tell us about your Nissan Rogue. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Really fun walk down memory lane. There must have been a Pimp My Ride video game, too.
I think there was.
There
must have been. I got to find that. All right. That was fun. My name is Nolan Sykes. You can follow me at Nolan J. Sykes. Follow Max at Max Maddox. Follow Justin at Justin Freeman. Big thank you to our crew, Audrey Holden, Gavin Kinzel, Nick Giamusso. Yeah, and we will see you next time.